Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
Team updates, coming off of a good homecoming win for us. We haven't had a homecoming win since 2017, so super excited for the fans, our student bodies, the parents, administration. It was just it was a good win. Hamlin football needed that. And on to the next one. You know, we got a tough opponent coming in here next Saturday, so you know, you got to flush that. We have to flush last week, and we got to find a way to slow down a really good Bethel football team. So,
well, let's talk a little bit about that victory last week. What were you thinking were some keys to last week's victory over St. Scholastica?
Well, I thought, so first of all, they had, you know, Coach Heff had a good team come down. You know, I thought they, from a planning standpoint, man, they were trying to pound the ball. They ran the ball with that big back that we were worried about. You know, their defense flew around. The keys for us, you know, starts with the kicking game. You know, we hadn't had field goals kicked around here in a long, long, long time. So for us to kick three of them, and we actually took one off the board because it was better for our program to retain the ball, is very positive moving forward. It makes you feel like, man, having a kicker is so critical. So things started there defensively. You know, we allowed one big play. They got one big long touchdown. But for the most part, you know, we kind of neutralized the back. I wouldn't say we stopped him. He was pretty good, but we were able to gang tackle him early. And we were able to get two turnovers. We were able to force two turnovers. Now, we talked about all week that was going to be the keys to the game, is if we can win the turnover battle, we felt like we had a chance to win. And offensively, right, we talked last week, we bounced back from our worst offensive performance, Carlton week. And then, you know, we came back and we did some things. We operated the offense the way we knew how to, you know, and had some good runs from Nico Rocafor, and Connor was able to, you know, manage the offense and handle the offense. And then obviously their defensive lineman that we were really worried about, our O-line, did a really good job on neutralizing him. Didn't stop him, but they neutralized him. So good team win. Good team win.
You have another dominating first half in this game. What do you think were some keys that got your team off to such a quick start?
I think when it starts with the you know, their attention to detail in practice. You know, we're big on how you practice is how you're going to play. You know, so I thought we had a good week of practice. Coaches, for the most part, we had our guys in the right positions. And then the guys went out, and I mean, you got to give most of the credit to the players, but they went out and executed. You know, Tristan Thomas and offense. You know, I know he didn't have a lot of targets, but you know, they were double teaming him and taking him away. So when that happens, Ryder Hutton, a guy steps up, two touchdowns and some big catches. Charlie Wilson steps up, you know, again, and none of that happens without the offensive line. So, you know, like I said, offensively, big team winning, and defensively, gang tackling guys and forcing turnovers. Caleb Leaders had a turnover. Carson Reiner had a turnover, fumble force. I mean, it was just a good team win. So,
you know, you've already had this great three-headed monster there at the running back position, and Nico, Alec, and Terrell Jones, and now all of a sudden you got Moses Nelson on top of that. You look like you were pretty happy about that group.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny. He's a freshman from Arizona, and it was good to, you know, have a one-on-one meeting with him this week and just, you know, really, you know, try to let him know that, you know, you're playing behind, you know, in his position that he plays naturally is behind Tristan Thomas, who's an all-conference player. So I had to tell him, man, we got to find ways to, you know, try to get you the ball, and we did on some jet sweeps, and, you know, the young man, you know, he took advantage of his opportunities, man. So we'll see how the offense grows with young Moses Nelson in it, man. So you're right, man. I did fail to recognize him, but he did a good job, stepped in there as a freshman for the second time. He got a chance to play a little bit in Morse. Didn't get much time in Carlton or Crown. So it's good, man. It's just the way it goes freshman year sometimes. So.
Now, you talked about the big two turnovers, but I thought your defense did a great job of getting pressure on Bishop and really create five sacks in the game. That's pretty good.
You know what? Hats off to the D-line, Coach Greenwalt, working with those guys. And, you know, it's always good. And it's a combination of two things. All right? Our coverage in the back end forces the quarterback to hold it, which allows the D-line to get there. And then D-line, you know, putting some that first interception that Caleb Leaders got, because the D-linemen, you know, they had their ears pinned back, and they were ready to go. And the kid threw the ball up a little bit early, and, you know, and then we're right in Caleb Leaders' hand. So it's a combination. That's complementary football on defense.
Who were players you'd like to acknowledge from this last week's game?
Yeah, defensively, you know, Carson Reiner did a good job of getting us set up, getting our front set, forced the fumble, you know, led the team in tackles. So Carson Reiner, hats off to him. Special teams, man, we have to go back to Lucius Negrillo, you know, being able to have a weapon that can kick field goals. You know, being out, you know, I don't want to jinx them, but being really good kicking field goals and taking care of the punting. I think he had three downed inside the 20. I mean, he flipped the field, man. That was huge, you know. And then offensively, you know, it could go to a lot of guys, but I think, you know, whenever we have a solid performance offensively, which I thought we did, you know, Connor Levins, I mean, you know, for him to play the game in the conditions, you know, with the weather, you know, he's an Arizona kid, so, you know, it's a little, not that it was cold, but, you know, I looked on our roster, I said, we got all warm weather quarterbacks, man. I kind of chuckled, but, you know, he handled the adversity really well with the weather, took care of the ball. The one interception was off of a tipped pass. I mean, you know, there's some responsibility with the receiver there as well, but Connor Levins did a good job, man, of operating offense, and he actually got he got dinged pretty good, and was able to come back into the game. And so just super proud of how tough and how he handled himself.
Well, you mentioned you take on Bethel this week. Your thoughts on the challenges that the Royals pose against you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been here since 2013, three as an assistant, and six as a head coach, man. And I think it starts with Coach Johnson. I just saw or read some crazy stat that he's got, like, more wins than any coach. There's a lot of coaches with wins, but he's, like, up, he's starting to climb the ranks with some of the Division I coaches for wins, man. He's been there 30 years. Nothing but great things to say about Coach Johnson. Every time I see him, he always says, Chip, you know, when I first started at Hamlin, you know, when I first started at Bethel, we would watch Hamlin, how they did things, and it's kind of crazy how that kind of works, and now they're such a powerhouse, man. So when I see him now, I'm always saying, man, Coach Johnson, and first of all, if I could hang in there for 30 years, that'd be awesome, but man, you know, to get our program to be, you know, where you guys are at is obviously the goal, man. So he's been nothing but respectful and a good resource, and they got a good ball club, man. It starts with the quarterback. I feel like we've been playing against this kid for forever, Rossi, number 9. He's the second leading. He's second on their team with rushing, so they'll run the ball with him, and he can beat you with his arm. You know, he's big, he's strong, he's physical. He's a University of Minnesota bounce back player who went to Minnesota and decided that wasn't the right fit, and he's had one hell of a career at Bethel, man. So I've seen him for the last. I feel like I've seen him for the last 3 years, and he's still there, man. They're running the ball with Bryce Kunkley really well. He's a leading rusher, so that's going to be. You know, we're going to have our hands full there. And then on defense, I remember seeing this kid play in 2019. He's a DB over there, number 23, Taven Swanson. I'm a big fan of that kid, man. That guy, obviously, I coach the DBs, you know, so I mean, obviously I kind of watch other teams, even at the backs. He's really good, man. He's a good football player. So all around from top to bottom, man, they're doing a good job as usual, as rightfully so. They're nationally ranked, and they're coming in here, and they're going to, you know, it's going to be a tough game for the Pipers, so.
Well, let's talk about that defense for a moment, because they have been probably the backbone of this Bethel team. What do you say to your offense, or how do you try to direct your offense so that you're able to have some success against them?
Sure. Well, it's always going to start with the ball, all right? The ball is a program. So if we can take care of football, which we didn't do in Carlton and we did do in St. Scho, one, you're giving yourself a shot. You know, every possession should end with a kick. If it's a punt, if it's a field goal, or an extra point. So that's going to be the goal there, to take care of the football, end every possession with a kick. And then we just got to be, you know, we're gonna have to find some smart ways to run the football. You know, I don't know if running it straight at Bethel is going to be smart. You know, it's a little bit of deception, smoke and mirrors. And we have to do something to control the ball and control the clock. You know, because the best defense is when we're on offense. So, you know, we're going to lean on our offense a little bit and see where we're at. But, you know, they got a good club, man. We got a good club, too. So we got to believe in all the things that's worked. We can't make stuff up. You know, we're not bringing a new offense or new defense out for Bethel. We got to play our stuff, and we got to be sound and take care of the ball. And when we're on defense, we got to gang tackle and not let the ball go over our heads. So.
Well, let's jump into fan questions this week, and we'll start with Mike, who would like to know, do you feel that scoring first is necessary for the Pipers to win?
I wouldn't say necessary to win, because it's a long game, but here's the deal. In order for the Pipers to win, you got to play 60 minutes of football, you know, and I think we definitely didn't do that a couple weeks ago. We did it. We were better at it this week, and it's going to be imperative for us to play 60 minutes of football versus Bethel. So scoring first is nice and all, but it's a long game. So I would hate to get painted in a box saying, well, if we don't score first, we're not going to win. Can't say that, man. We gotta play the game, and we've got to execute.
Randy would like to know, you talked about this a little bit, but Randy asked, how great was it to win during homecoming?
You know what? And I got to do a better job of being able to enjoy the wins. But for me, it's more excited for the administration, the parents, the players, you know, the alums that, you know, we had some guys that came back that played when I was a head coach and when I was a defensive coordinator, man, they were so happy. Like, that's the real cool part about it, man, is when, you know, you can bring joy to others, man. So that was super cool. So I was happy about that.
Byron says, Coach, love looking at the MIAC standings and seeing us tied for second. Keep up the good work.
Yes. Well, again, I don't know if, hopefully you'll listen this week, but we got a tough one this week. And, you know, if we could come out of this one with a win, it'll be huge for the whole university. And again, obviously, you know, our players and our program. So we're going to give it a good shot. We're going to take our swings and try to find a way to steal one from the Bethel Royals. So.
Russell would like to know, he says, you've seen Carleton this season and they look really impressive. Do you see them being able to beat a team like St. John's?
I don't know. You got to go play the game, man. Carleton has it always starts with, you got a quarterback, and they have one of those. They got a great scheme. I have not seen St. John's, so I can't speak to that. I just seen Carleton. They beat us. I wish we could play them again, but that's not the case. You get one opportunity a year. You know, so my hat's off to coach down at Carleton, and if that's who they're playing, good luck to those guys, and it'll be, you know, we'll see how that game goes.
Connor asks, he says, Coach, you're a Philly guy. You grew up watching Buddy Ryan as the defensive coordinator. Is there some Buddy Ryan in Coach T?
I did watch Buddy Ryan a lot. I remember, it's funny, I was talking to somebody. I remember going to church on Sundays and then going to my grandmother's house on Sundays and just sitting there watching the Eagles, you know, just watching the Eagles on TV, man. So, yeah, those are the Buddy Ryan days. Those days are different. Football is so different from then to now. I mean, it wasn't as much passing. You know, you can blitz more, play a little bit more man back in those days, man. The game has changed and evolved so much. You know, is there an aggressive streak in me? Absolutely. Do I probably pressure a little bit too much? You know, my assistant coaches tell me, you know, we're pressuring too much. And I know Buddy Ryan was a pressure guy, but that's just my nature when it, you know, you're right. You want to set the tone and be aggressive on defense, man. Which is sometimes they got to tell me to stop doing that, and I need to listen. So,
our good buddy Andre returns, and his first question this week is: tough loss to Kansas City over the weekend, Coach. I know you love Andy Reid, so does that mitigate the loss a little bit for you?
Well, no. Anytime the Eagles lose, it's always disappointing. They've ran into some tough teams, and that's NFL, right? It's tough teams, man. Like, every week, you got to come to play, you know. And I didn't obviously see the game, but I know we scored 30. I think the game was 49-30. And Andy Reid's a great play caller, heck of a ball coach, and they've got some serious weapons over there with Mahomes and Hill, and and the tight end they got, Kelce. I mean, and the running back. I mean, they got some weapons. So, man, everybody in the NFL should have weapons. But I just know that Kansas City's got elite people and they got an elite coach. So hopefully we can bounce back at the next one. Hopefully we're not panicking in Philadelphia, but we've got to get the next. I'm not even sure who they play next. So,
Andre also asks, he says, Coach, have you seen these rumors about the 76ers trading away Ben Simmons? Do you see that happening?
Oh, man. Yeah, I've seen it. I've heard it. I've tried to talk to some of my buddies who are a little bit closer to the situation. And when I mean closer, they live in Philly and they listen to the local talk radio. I don't know. It just doesn't sound like a good situation, man. And I'm a Ben Simmons fan. I liked when we drafted him. You know, I liked how tall he is and his range and his vision, his passing, his defense. I mean, the knock is, you know, the free throws and three-point shooting, which I think he can get better at free throws. Maybe three-point shooting is not going to ever be his thing, but I just hate to see him leave. I really like the way our team is, but again, I'm not close enough to know, you know, how that's messing up the team dynamic or the culture. So I don't know. I'd hate to see him leave, man. I'm a Ben Simmons fan.
We have two questions for you from Alan. The first is, what is a food that you will just not eat?
What is a food that I will just not eat? Wow. I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody's culture, but I don't think, you know, for me, for some reason, I don't know if I'd eat octopus. You know, I've heard people eating octopus, and I'm sure it might taste good, but I don't think that would be something I'd be seeking or going out and looking for. If it's in a menu, I'm saying I want to try the octopus tonight. I don't think I'm going to do that, man. But for the most part, you know, I like seafood. You know, I like, you know, barbecue is good. Italian is good. Jamaican food is good. Anything that's, you know, a little bit different, I like to try. But I think I passed on, like, octopus and squid. I think I'm okay.
Coach has me all hungry now with Jamaican food and stuff, so great. Alan would also like to know, what is something your mom made for you when you were a kid that you still love today?
Wow. Wow. Sticking with the Jamaican theme, I'd probably say, brown stewed oxtails were really good with rice and beans and some vegetables. Man, that was always like a staple. I wouldn't say a staple, but whenever Sunday came and, you know, my mom was cooking some brown stew oxtails with some rice and beans and some broccoli and salad, and that's good eating, man. So, you know, that's a Mama Taylor recipe right there. So,
well, now that Coach Taylor has made it, so I have to go to lunch. Coach, tell us why it's good to be a Piper.
Well, it's good to be a Piper coming off of a big homecoming win for the university, and the Jazz level's high on campus. So that's exciting. And then we got to reel the guys back in and, make sure that their number one focus these next couple days are school. And then we got to put together one hell of a game plan for them with the Bethel Royals coming down the street here to play, man. So, you know, like I said, those guys can enjoy that win, but we got to get back to the business, which is school, and we got to get back on the practice field tomorrow. And then the coaches today, we got to work diligently to put together a great game plan for Bethel. So,
fantastic. Coach, thanks for joining us this week.
All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Well, let's welcome back. We're going to welcome Landon Swearingen with us. Landon, tell us a little bit about why you decided to come to Hamline.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on. I guess I have some family that actually came to Hamline. My older brother played baseball here in 2010, and my uncle was a part of the conference-winning team in the late 80s, early 90s. More relevant to my situation, I knew that Hamline had a really good school of business, and that's what I'm pursuing. I will graduate with an accounting degree here in December. But the coaches are a big reason as to why I came to play football here at Hamline. Coach, she's a really personable person. Just asked me how my family's doing, you know, remembers their name, stuff like that, you know. So not just being a number here, but being recognized specifically for my individual characteristics. And then Coach Sheehan, too, our offensive coordinator, I would just say, again, really, really personable, like talks to me about family issues and anything I got going on, you know, just growing and becoming a better man on and off the field. So that's a big influence as to why I came.
Fantastic. And what would you like to do with your degree from Hamline eventually?
So right now I actually have a full-time position lined up for after school after we get done here in December with BDO. They're a top 10 firm globally, and I think they're also top 10 here in the Minneapolis market. But I'll be doing tax accounting with them starting in January, so I'm pretty excited about that as well.
Well, that should keep you super busy, I would gather.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I see also that, you know, during your time in high school, you were a baseball guy as well. Have you been playing baseball at Hamline?
No, I actually haven't. I guess I never really reached out to ask about it, but baseball is kind of up there with football as far as sports that I, you know, really enjoyed. We were pretty successful in high school, and despite being a bigger guy on the baseball field, that was definitely one of my passions. So when it came to pick a sport for college, it was kind of, you know, I got the body for football as much as I want to play baseball. That's a little more fitting to go that route.
Well, you guys are off to an exciting season here so far, 3-1, the first time the team has had that in a few years. And so tell us a little bit about what you believe is helping this team to strive early on this way.
So, it starts a year ago. You know, as soon as we finished that last game against Augsburg in 2019, it just left a sour taste in our mouth. And a lot of us older guys, when that class left, you know, it was our turn to step up as seniors and kind of take the reins on the team and establish the culture that we want to leave with the program. So, I mean, we really started holding dudes accountable as far as, you know, being late, what kind of people we want to be, who we want to be recognized as on campus. And we grew a lot closer as a team as well. So, I mean, doing, you know, whether it be team events there on campus or setting up for gymnastics, different things, we started spending a lot of time together, and I think we grew really close, you know, and being a little bit of an older team versus 2019, I think growing off the field has helped us tremendously on the field. As far as the 3-1 start goes, I mean, that's obviously we would have hoped for 4-0, but we're pretty happy with where we are right now and realize we got a lot of work left to do here in this last season.
Well, you guys have probably the best running attack that the team has had in 5 or 6 years. And when I've talked to the running backs on the team, they've been telling me a lot about how impressive that offensive line has been for them. You're a big part of that. How has it been to gel with those guys that you work with on the line and, you know, kind of build the right kind of chemistry to be able to create such a potent offense this season?
Yeah, so, I mean, offensive line, especially in the run game, we all have to be on the same page. So we actually started doing some extra work, you know, player-led, right after lifting in the off season, you know, just getting stance, all the fundamentals down. And then just coaching up our center and right guard, you know, being a couple of the younger guys on the offensive line, they've really adapted pretty well. So me and or Will Cons at the left tackle and I have established the way, as we call it here in practice, you know, just flying around. And obviously it helps being a little bit bigger than we have in years past, but being violent is what we like to pride ourselves on when it comes to the trenches. So
with a lot of long drives you guys have had this season, a lot of guys would look at that and think, man, those 6 and 7 minute drives must be taxing, but you guys look like you're having fun with that.
Oh yeah. On the offensive line, I mean, if you ask any one of us five, it's, you know, we want to run the ball every single play. That's what we love to do. Those 6-7 minute drives. Yeah. When you get to the sideline, you get a bottle of water in your hand, you realize it's kind of taxing, but when you're out there, it's throwing fuel on the fire every couple of yards we get. So, and rolling first downs, those big explosive plays of 15 yards, 20, 25 yards. I mean, we thrive off that. So,
this week you guys take on Bethel, very good defense they have right there. So what do you see as some keys for you guys there on the offensive line?
I mean, especially with some of our younger guys and having played schools like Bethel and St. Thomas, St. John's, it's just really knowing your assignment. And they like to move around pre-snap, all that stuff. So as long as we're confident in where we need to be and we can play violent to that extent, I think we got a pretty good shot. So definitely one of the biggest points is the speed of the game, you know, kicking up a couple notches with a really good defense like that is just being 100% sound and where you need to be. So taking that into practice, and the scout D has been giving us a really good look too. So I think that would play a big part in our success.
It sounds like you're pretty excited about this challenge.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I know in years past it's been, you know, St. Thomas, St. John's, the big Bethel, the big schools. I think it's just a good measure to see, you know, where you stack up against some of the best teams in the country. So the challenge, and, you know, coming out 3-1, we got some momentum on our side, having one of the best years we've had in the last 20, 25 years of the school. I think we're well equipped to go out there and give it a shot.
Now, I end each week's show with Coach Taylor by asking him why it's great to be a Piper. So I'll end with you. Why is it great to be a Hamlin Piper?
Well, I'll start on the school side of things. You know, this I had an internship with BDO before, and then getting this full-time position was primarily set up through an alumni who is an adjunct professor. So I think from a student perspective, just the connections that you have, the opportunities you get, the smaller classroom, stuff like that, it really, really helps. And then from football perspective, you know, not being on a 180-man team or 160, 120, whatever the cap is on that, it's you're not just the number, you know, you're personable with the coaches, and you get to grow a little bit tighter with teammates on both sides of the ball, not just in your specific position group. So, I mean, being a Piper is it's everything I wanted it to be. So
that's fantastic. Landon, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. Talk to you soon.
Yep, we'll see ya.
All right. Okay. Well, let's welcome Carson Reinert. Carson, tell us a little bit about why you decided to go to Hamline.
Well, I came to Hamline for a few reasons. One, I kind of wanted to stay in Minnesota where I've grown up. And just like the small environment of the school, having close relationships with the professors, and then the coaches were really great, always reaching out to me while I was in high school and going through the recruiting process, asking how I'm doing. And when I came for a visit here, the guys on the team made me feel like I was a teammate and not just another number, and that did a lot for me.
And what is your major at Hamline?
I'm double majoring in accounting and business analytics.
And what would you like to do with that one day?
I'm not entirely sure yet. I'm hoping to get an internship next summer in either tax or audit, and then hopefully get a future job with whatever firm I go with.
Fantastic. Now, tell us a little bit about the season so far. Hamline is off to a great start. What do you think have been some keys for the team so far?
Just everyone's been very bought in ever since we ended 2019 with not the way we wanted to, how the whole season went. Everyone's bought in and just worked really hard throughout the whole off season, and we've bonded really well together, great chemistry. Everyone's listening to the coaches, and we're just having a great time with football.
The defenses look very good for you guys so far this season. Talk a little bit about how you're establishing your own personal role with that team and how this team is being working together so well this season so far.
I just always try to do my job on every single play, not try to do too much because that'll kind of screw things up for us. So as long as I can stick to my role and do what I need to do, it'll help help others make plays. Or it'll eventually come back to me, and I'll get after it a little bit.
Well, you guys have played very well, you know, especially in those first halves. You have dominated teams so far. What has been the key, do you think, to so much success early on in games?
Just great weeks of practice, being prepared, and coming out fast. Just having being excited, wanting to go play some football. And then just for the second half, we just got to finish games, we come out of halftime really flat, and we just got to stay locked in and finish up the game.
Well, this is the best that Hamline has played in quite a few years there, so you guys must be very excited about the direction the program is headed.
Of course, yeah. The older guys kind of helped change the culture around here a lot, and everyone's been very bought into what we're trying to do here as a team and what we want to do in the future.
We have a big test this week against Bethel. Very good dynamic offense right there. What do you see as some keys for you guys to kind of slow them down?
We just got to tackle really well. They're really good at making people miss and breaking tackles. We just have to pursue the ball, make tackles, get the ball down, and try to get them where they don't want to be in, like, second and long and third and long.
Well, Carson, I end each week by asking Coach Taylor why it's great to be a Hamlin Piper. So I will ask you, why are you excited about being a Hamlin Piper?
Just the brotherhood we have on and off the field with the guys. And then for school-wise, just the small campus feel is awesome and just having a great relationship with your professors.
Fantastic. Carson, thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me.